After 8 years and 6 seasons, the HBO series The Sopranos ended its run last night with a finale that is certain to be remembered, but not necessarily fondly. TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
Literally for years now, one of the biggest questions regarding The Sopranos has been, how would it end? Well, after literally years of anticipation and speculation, viewers of the HBO crime drama finally got their answer from series creator David Chase. Tony didn't get whacked. Instead, viewers got punked. The Sopranos didn't end, it just stopped. And stopped in mid-scene, with the tension ratcheted up to almost palpable levels. Previously in the final episode, Tony had brokered peace with other members of the New York family and had his own guys track down and kill Phil Leotardo, who had killed Bobby, put Silvio in a coma, and been gunning for Tony. So by episode's end, Tony felt comfortable enough to meet the wife and kids and enjoy some comfort food at a local New Jersey diner. Tony arrived first, then Carmela, then AJ. But by the time Meadow drove up front, Chase had started to focus his cameras on other customers at the diner. Some are friendly, happy parents and children, but others are menacing characters, hovering nearby and potentially ready to pull out guns and mow down the Sopranos in one final Bonnie and Clyde-like hail of bullets. When Meadow has problems parallel parking out front, that's the way it looked like it was going to go. Her inability to park would make her the sole survivor of the show's last mob hit. But no. For a few brief moments, Tony, played by James Gandolfini, got to enjoy the very thing he'd been desperate to experience for years, a warm, normal dinner conversation with the family. Was this the last note sung by the Sopranos, a happy ending? Or were they all about to pay with their lives for Tony's many crimes? We'll never know, because as the family talked and the Journey song Don't Stop Believin' played on the tabletop jukebox, David Chase decided to ignore the message in the song's lyrics. Just as the tension built to where you hoped or feared something would happen, the Sopranos cut to black. For good. During the silence that followed, you could hear millions of HBO subscribers screaming in anger and disbelief.
I went ahead and ordered a shove for the table.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Street light. Don't stop.
I know some people are absolutely outraged about this, and I understand why. But after I groaned when the screen went black, I chuckled, then groaned again. There were plenty of good ways The Sopranos could have ended. I wanted Tony to take his family and enter witness protection, which would have been really ironic, given that he murdered another mobster in the show's first season for doing just that. Another TV critic I know expected Polly to be Brutus to Tony's Caesar, and that made a lot of sense, too. But one thing you have to say about the way David Chase didn't end The Sopranos, it's not inconsistent. Here's a guy who left that Russian running around in the Pine Barrens never to be heard from again, and let the rapist of Dr. Melfi just fade away. Chase's argument is that life doesn't always provide consistency or closure, and apparently, the more people asked him to tie up loose plot threads, the more he resented it. So last night's non-ending was a giant message to the audience. What kind of message, I'm not allowed to say on radio, but clearly, this was a joke he was having at our expense. Whether or not you're able to laugh at it, I guess, says something about how you watch television and how seriously you take it. Some fans already are saying that for the money they provide each month to HBO as part of their subscription, they don't expect to have to supply their own endings. And what I wonder is this. Back when David Chase surprised HBO by agreeing to one, then to two, lengthy and very long-awaited extensions to the Sopranos series, it was because he wanted to do justice to his characters and finish the story the way he wanted without rushing things. Is this really what he had in mind? If you listen to the music he selected for the last few episodes, the answer appears to be yes. Not only did he end the series with Steve Perry from Journey singing Don't Stop, but earlier in the hour, he had AJ and his girlfriend listening intently to an old Bob Dylan song, It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding. One of the key lyrics there may have reflected Chase's entire philosophy about The Sopranos and its finale. I got nothing, Ma, to live up to. What's more, the final episode began with another defiant song choice by Chase, the old Vanilla Fudge cover of You Keep Me Hanging On. There's no way that was accidental. So he was laughing at us from the start. And even last week, the Bada Bing girls danced to a very odd music selection, When the Music's Over by the Doors. When the music's over, Jim Morrison sang, turn out the lights. 1 week later, that's exactly how David Chase ended The Sopranos. Do I feel cheated? A little. But I can imagine both the endings Chase hinted at, and I might have felt cheated by either of them, too. Besides, despite HBO's slogan that it's not TV, it's HBO, it's just TV. So where does The Sopranos ending rank in terms of TV's all-time best finales? It's up there in terms of audaciousness. Perhaps the biggest mind game since The Prisoner almost 40 years ago, when Patrick McGoohan's number 6 and his village enemy number 1 turned out to be literally one and the same. But it doesn't provide the outrageous sense of closure that St. Elsewhere did, when the whole series turned out to be the daydreams of an autistic kid. Or the ambitious sense of closure of 6 Feet Under, which went decades into the future to dramatize the deaths of all its major characters. And it certainly doesn't leave you smiling and satisfied, like the brilliant finale of Newhart, which put Bob Newhart back in bed with Suzanne Pleshette from The Bob Newhart Show and dismissed all of Newhart's later series as a bad dream. That was brilliant. All of those endings redefined everything that had come before them. The Sopranos didn't do that. It just pulled up short, and did so with an episode that wasn't even that strong. David Chase, after so much brilliant work and creating so many characters we cared about, seemed to be saying he could take it or leave it. So he left it, and left us staring at the screen into darkness. It's not the way any of us wanted Tony to go out.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Shirok. Our engineer is Bob Purdick. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.
When the music's over, when the music's over here, when the music's over.